Hello there. Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hey, creepies, welcome to episode 139. Nate is your tech engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing great.
I wasn't sure who was going to come in first. Now, why am I doing the intro? Why is this happening tonight?
I'm good. Todd, not good.
I wasn't sure. I thought, well, I'll let Nate, you know, I didn't want to just jump in, but I thought, well, I will. I'm at home. I'm in bed while we're recording this.
That's the joys of being remote.
I got the heating blanket on and got my bottle of water, and I'm set. I'm good. You guys doing all right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hanging in there.
Yeah. I did not feel well today. My wife didn't feel well at all, and she still doesn't feel up to par. So I thought, you know what? Instead of having to hop in the car and sitting there just in case, I thought I better stay home. But I'm not going to miss. So that's the main thing.
Well, I'm glad you could join us tonight because this is awesome. I mean, we look forward to the recording, but this works out well too. But I'm telling you, just like I said earlier, it feels like you're talking in a tin can and then you can't read anybody's body language and you're like, and there's a slight delay, right?
Yeah, very, very slight. I mean,
He likes to look in your eyes when he talks.
I do. I really do. I made this weird. You made this weird, Nate.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. So, let's see. We are recording. This is November 1st. Isn't that weird?
Yeah. Yep. Went quick.
Man, that is bizarre. It's like, you wait. You know, you're like, okay, it's September, next month Halloween, and then all of a sudden I'm like, okay, next month Christmas. It's kind of bizarre, but my daughter's happy because when we got home, I picked her up from her friend's house last night, and before I backed in the garage, she goes, hey, do you mind let's go in the attic and get my Christmas boxes? I'm like, oh man, I said that tonight. She's like, yeah, I was like, all right. So we got them down. She hasn't decorated yet because she's trying to rearrange her room. But, it's already like, oh, my gosh. I found out her good friend, Addie, Ryan Walker, you know, who's been on the show, a friend of ours. Elijah told me that his daughter decorated like a week or two ago because Elijah was like, is that Christmas music? And Matthew, his buddy, goes, yeah, go in there and check it out. And he was like, oh, no. So sweet Addie, she even decorated her room already. So I'm like, between the two girls, like, they're ready for Christmas.
I was going to say, doesn't Olivia start playing Christmas music by this point?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She's pumped already. She's like, yeah, she said last night, she's like, or this morning or something, she's like, all right, it's time for Christmas music. I'm like, oh, my gosh. I'm like, I literally watched Halloween literally it was trick-or-treating last night. Now we're,
They know that it doesn't bring presents any quicker?
Yeah, I tell her, I'm like, you're still going to have to wait till the 25th. I don't know. Well, then, you know, Elijah, he turned 13 on the 7th of December, so that's a while. It's a fun month. It's a fun month. But I'm not ready for it yet. You know?
Amy had her birthday on Monday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Amy had her birthday on Monday?
Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
She's happy birthday, Amy. Now. Yeah.
She's officially mid-40s. And every time I said it, she's like, well, at least I'm not in my early 50s. I'm like, ooh. Ow.
Fighting words.
Rip the Band-Aid off.
I know it. But I am glad to be still part of this episode. So, creepies. I'm not going to miss out.
Now, don't you fall asleep.
I would have to have been really, really. Huh?
You can't fall asleep on us.
Sorry. I was dozing off. I'm telling you what, I'm pretty comfortable. I've got the heating blanket on, and I've got my thermal shirt on. And, oh, yeah, I mean,
that sounds great.
But I'm ready to go. Let's get into it.
I'm all coming.
So before we get into the other typical segments, whatever, of the shows, I do want to address something that I think it was, I don't know, over the weekend or something, just a few days ago, basically. And usually, let's see, I think this is the first time we've actually read a review on our show. And I want to preface by saying this isn't an attack. This isn't calling out anybody as far as like, man, I'm mad or you guys are mad and we're, you know, all this. I just want to it's more of a clarification and just an explanation. So let me start out. this particular review, and this was as of 264 episodes, because I think after tonight we'll have like about 267 or something like that. So it says that the header is "Sad I Am All Caught Up." I'm like, oh, nice, awesome. And then I'm going to read this part, and it's going to be kind of backwards. So, and the creepies will understand what I'm doing here. So it says, "Sad I'm All Caught Up." As the seasons continued, it was more focused on the tales they were telling, which is awesome because they cover so many topics no one else seems to cover. The best by far was the Walmart story from Freestyle 5. That is good. It says, so glad I didn't skip ahead because that story was so worth it. Haha, keep up the good work. Keep up the good work, guys. So I'm like, nice. That's a really good one. Now let me go back to the beginning of the review, and it says, excellent show. Okay, so you would think hearing excellent show, said I'm all caught up, talking about, you know, they like that we cover topics that, you know, not other podcasts seem to do, and saying keep up the good work and all that. You would think that would deserve a 5-star. Now, that's just, maybe it's just me. I don't know. I thought that would be a 5-star. However, the beginning of the review says, after they say excellent show, they say, I wasn't sure about it at first. I would refer to it as my Bible Thumper podcast because Jesus seems to make a guest appearance a lot. I get it, though. When something is new, one tends to fall back on what they are most comfortable with. So as I read, obviously from the beginning to the end, I read the review and I'm like, okay, that's a nice review. However, they gave us 4 stars. So I have a couple, I'm going to break this down here. So creepies, just bear with me. So first of all, I know Nate and Sean appreciate any reviews we get. We're not asking like, hey, you know what, if you think we deserve a 5-star, give us a 5. If you think we deserve a 1-star and we suck, that's fine. You know, say it. We're not going to, you know, that's fine. Can't force anybody to give us what we would like, right? So my problem is, though, this podcast, when we started it, you know, we talked about we wanted to do creepy paranormal horror and all that stuff as far as the topics itself, and that's what we do. But obviously we bring in the mental health, we bring in the anti-bullying. That's very important, even more important than the topic, that we discussed. Now, I think in 200 in, as of this review, 264 episodes, I think we, have been authentic. We've been ourselves. We're not faking anything. And we hardly ever even, you know, edit. Of course we mess up and things like that, but what you hear is what you get, and we're not trying to be anything other than who we are and what our show is about, which is talking about creepy stuff. Then, like I said, we want to do the mental health and the anti-bullying campaigns, and that's very important to all three of us. And I know from reading, you know, different posts on Facebook, or we've gotten messages, or people have come up and say, hey, we really appreciate you guys diving into the serious stuff too. My issue, I guess, with the review, and let me say, creepies, Nate and Sean have no idea what I'm going to talk about, but I told them just let me do my thing and before they chime in if they want to. Again, this isn't an attack on this particular person who did the review. A 4-star review, thank you for that. Thank you for even taking the time to type out a pretty lengthy review. You did not have to do that, and thank you for listening. The problem is, though, if you, I'm going to assume now, I know what they say about assuming, but I'm thinking the Jesus part. Well, first of all, the Bible thumping. We are nowhere near Bible thumpers. Just because I work at a Christian church, I am a believer in Jesus. I do believe in God. I believe in creation. That's my personal choice. And I know Sean and Nate, they're believers. And I can't help where I work, and I'm not going to apologize for believing in Jesus and making that a tiny part of what we talk about, because if you add up all the minutes, you know, the hours of the 264 episodes as of this review, I would venture to guess that Jesus or faith in general or the word or the name God is probably mentioned about 1% of the time. And that's just in usually just the flow. I don't think any three of us have come out and said, okay, you know what, I'm going to start out the podcast episode preaching or really thumping that Bible and making sure people are perfect like us or they go to church like I do. That's never been the issue, never been the case, I from what I think. And to be honest with you, if, you know, the probably name Jesus and God could be mentioned more, but that isn't what our show's about. Just like we could probably talk about mental health awareness and anti-bullying and all that stuff more than what we do, but you know, that is a part of it, but it's, you know, people want to hear the creepy stuff. So I guess my problem is it seems that we got a 4-star because the word, the name Jesus, we mention the Bible, or we talk a little about our faith in bantering or even talking about a creepy topic, whatever it might be, faith might pop up. That's who we are. That's who I am. And I'm not going to be fake and go, man, I better watch out. I better not mention the name Jesus because there might be somebody that gets offended. I'm not saying you have to be a believer. Anybody listening to this podcast, I've never once said, I'd like it to be. I'd like everybody to be because we're talking eternity. And it's a big deal. But I've never said, oh, you're not as good as me or you're not as good as Nate and Sean. Or look at us, we're so pious, and look at us, and I work at a church, and I've never said that. And I hope I've never made somebody feel like that. So I guess I kind of took offense to why we got a 4-star, because in my opinion, if somebody said all of that, right, and they said, however, you know, really, you know, love the show, excellent show, sad I'm caught up, you guys do a good job. However, you know, the sound quality is not that great. Or, you know what, I wish they didn't do the announcements. They got announcements at the beginning, they do announcements afterwards, or their bantering goes on too long. That, and the, you know, so I'm going to give them a 4-star. That I can accept. You know, give us a 1-star. I wish they didn't do the middle-aged moment, the dad joke. It just takes too much time. Because that's in regards to the actual podcast. But I feel that giving us a 4-star, and I'm going to, like I said, I'm going to guess just because, as they say, Bible thumping, and I don't know if they really know what Bible thumping is. Bible thumping is judging and harping and harping and harping on people to go to church and get saved and believe in Jesus. And I don't think we have done that ever. I know we haven't done that on this podcast, and we don't plan to. Just because we mentioned Jesus and God in our faith and there's a higher power. And because I'll tell you right now, if it wasn't for finding my faith, I wouldn't be doing this podcast. So, you know, that is a big part of my life and Sean and Nate. And, you know, I'm going to speak for myself. I'm not apologizing for that. And so if that's worthy of a 4-star, then so be it. I can't change their mind. I can't change anybody's mind in the future. I just kind of rubbed me the wrong way because they sounds like they love the show, you know, the topics, and they are sad that they're caught up. But then they give us a 4-star, and I'm thinking it might be because, as they say, Jesus seemed to make a guest appearance a lot. And then they say when something new, one tends to fall back on what they are most comfortable with. It sounded like we didn't know what we were talking about, or because I've never done a podcast before. So I'm just going to go, let's see, I don't know any more to talk about on this horror topic. So I'm just going to start talking about faith. That's never happened. So I don't feel like this is a true, it's not something that actually has happened. So I don't know where they're coming from. And like I said, a Bible thumper, I think we're far from it. I am a sinner, and I'm probably the most wretched sinner there is. And I just so happen to believe in something bigger than me, and I admit it. So I just wanted to, like I said, I'm not mad at this person, not at all. I'm actually appreciative of the review, and I'll take a 4-star. I just, you know, if you're going to say, hey, great show, this is awesome, they talk about this and that, da da da, but yet, you know, I don't believe in marriage, or I don't believe in something, you know, whatever. I don't like this and that, and it has nothing to do with the podcast. So you're going to give me, because you're basing it against me, you're going to give the show a 4-star, and I just don't think that's fair. If it's something that's not, you're just not jiving with as far as the podcast itself, I get it. But to lower us a star because we might mention our faith 1% of the time here and there, I just don't think that's quite fair. But life isn't fair, and so I hope I made sense on that. Nate and Sean, that's my take. I appreciate you guys letting me go and ramble on without interrupting, just because I didn't want to lose my track and my train of thought. I just wanted to say that because, again, I really appreciate this person. I don't know. I'm not going to say the name of their iTunes handle or whatever you call it. I'm not going to say the name. Thank you, whoever you are out there, if you're listening, still listening. Thank you for listening to our show, taking a couple of minutes. I wish, and Nate and Sean, I know, are going to agree, we wish more people would take the time. Whether it's a 1-star and you're like, you guys are terrible. This is a, you know, man, that Todd guy, he sucks. He's a terrible host. That's fine. I can take it, you know. I just didn't get the 4-star. And I was thinking maybe because, as we are called, Bible thumpers. And that's, we're not even close to that. So what do you think, Sean? And if you don't have any a take on it, that's fine too. But I didn't want to hog it all up. No, not at all.
I think that, I appreciate you saying all that. And I think that was a pretty balanced and fair way to say it too. You know, like you said, people are allowed to say whatever they want, and we do appreciate the review. So, but no, I agree with you that we really don't intend to ever jam something down somebody's throat. And so, yeah, I'm not sure exactly what all they were trying to get at, but I do appreciate that they're listening and they're caught up, and they're sad they're caught up. That caught my eye too. I'm like, oh, that's cool. Oh, that 4-star sounds pretty good to me. But yeah, so I think you put it well. Do you have anything else to add, Nate?
This next episode is about the Holy Spirit.
Is it? So. Oh, Nate. No. I thought you were going to say about reviews.
No. Yeah, we're not trying to persuade nobody. And like Todd said earlier, I mean, we came into this to talk about paranormal and creepy stuff. We knew from the get-go that we were not going to get religious on here. Does it come up from time to time? Yeah, but anything comes up from time to time in any topic that you ever talk about with anybody. So
same thing with politics. We try really hard.
Yeah,
we try to
stay away from politics.
To alienate anybody with politics either. So yeah,
it's not same thing. It's not what this show's about.
It is about Care Bears, though. Is that what you're trying?
Mm-hmm.
So. Oh gosh, that's all we need. No, and Nate, that's exactly right. You know, this podcast is never intended to be a religious or a social commentary or have a political commentary whatsoever, but faith is a part of our life, and my goodness, I'm appreciative of it. Like I said, we never want a Bible thump. I think that was a little unfair. They don't know what Bible thumpers are, because I don't like Bible thumpers, and I work at a church. I go to church on a weekly basis, and man, but I don't like Bible thumpers because they tend to be arrogant, and they are very judgmental, and they just beat you over the head, and they might have good intentions, but it's like, oh my gosh, calm down. So yeah. And like I said, so be it. Call us Bible thumpers, whatever. Like I said, we talk about Jesus and God maybe 1% of the time on this, on all these hours of we've been doing this podcast. I just think to give us a 4-star because that rubs them the wrong way, or they think we're Bible thumping or trying to really preach at them. That's the part I have a problem with. I don't have a problem with the 4-star, but I think it's the reason I think we got the 4-star. So I just wanted to mention it. Like I said, I'm not attacking this, not trying to. So I hope this person doesn't feel attacked, because that's not at all. And again, Sean, you reiterated, we just can't change, you know, we can't force people to they can say what they want to say, you know, or they, right. They can love the show and, you know, they can give us a one star. And it's like, wait, what? But it is what it is. So anyway,
And it's like,
I just want to clarify that. So people kind of know as they come to this podcast, because obviously we're getting new listeners every day. And so they kind of know like, oh, okay, cool. That's, you know, we understand. That makes sense. What their agenda is or what we're trying to accomplish. So, and when it comes down to it, someday I'll answer to Jesus and God. And that's who inevitably will, you know, be happy with me and us. And I don't have to answer to this person or anybody else in the big picture. So that's it. That's all I got on that. So thank you for letting me ramble on about that. Mm-hmm.
But it's also...
now I'm going to drink some water.
Go for it.
Well, and also like... it's hard not to get into faith and religion on some of the topics. I mean, we get into demons and that kind of stuff. Well, what's the opposite of that? How do you battle those types of entities? And it always falls back to religion and that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I mean, take what you want. But, I mean, if that's part of the topic, then we're not trying to Bible thump by any means. I mean, it's just part of the content.
I think the other thing that's interesting about this podcast is that we are, and that's what people, not everybody likes podcasts, and that's fine because people don't want to sit there and listen to conversation. Some people want to have their own conversation, but we have our three mics and we have the, honestly, it's a privilege and it's an honor to be able to say what we want to say or mm-hmm. what we need to say. And we keep each other in check pretty well. If we say something off kelter or something that doesn't really jive, you know, we take it out. We don't force anything, but, it is something that, you know, a lot of people enjoy being the fly on the wall and just listening and kind of taking it in. But you do. I mean, as a listener, I've listened to other podcasts that I really love and really enjoy. And there are times where I'm like, yeah, I don't agree with that, but I still like it, you know, and I wouldn't, you know, so, but yeah, I think it's an interesting dynamic. It's a weird place to be as a, you know, probably both for listeners and, you know, for us as the hosts and, you know, and entertaining people and educating. And I think you put it out there too, Todd. It's most important is we really want to make that mental health connection. And a lot of times, you know, body, mind, and spirit, that's the spirit part is a huge part of it for people. And everybody has a different way to look at it. But we try to be all encompassing, but we also are going to be ourselves too. So I totally agree with that.
Yeah, I think we've been authentic and I'm not going to hide or not mention. Yeah, like you said, Nate. Faith comes in a lot of the topics we talked about. My goodness, especially when we're talking about exorcisms, demons, or just anything, ghosts, whatever. Hey, how does this affect you? I've been asked two or three times, how does this affect your faith? Like, you know, how do you believe in God and Jesus? Do you believe in a ghost or, you know, whatever? And Sean, like I said, it really does have, you know, the two going together, like, or well, the three, the creepy paranormal, the faith, and then the mental health. It's kind of all entwined, you know, and it's kind of hard not to.
Yeah.
Sometimes. But it's not like I never write out or type out the show flow and go, okay, now let's see, we do the dad joke, and now let's do a little preaching on Jesus, a little Bible thump. I mean, that's not ever. It just comes in conversation. And then I think most of the time when we have mentioned it, it's because we're passionate about giving encouragement and helping. And like I said, we can have all kinds. Maybe we have people that believe in the devil worship the devil. Heck, we might have people, there might be half people, atheists, agnostic. I'm not saying they, you know, they'd be great for them. It doesn't affect me, whatsoever. I mean, do what you want to do, believe what you want, but I'd love for them to believe in God and Jesus and be saved and baptized and all that. But, it ain't going to happen. Not everybody. So, but to base the rating and the review on that, you know, cause like I said, I listen to over 60 podcasts. And if I don't like a podcast, I'm not going to bash them. I'm not going to rate them. I only give ratings if I can honestly give a 5-star. But if I was going to rate somebody lower than a 5, it's going to be because, or it would be because of just the podcast itself. Like, oh man, I wish they didn't, you know, I wish the sound quality was better, or sometimes they, whatever it is, it has something to do with the actual podcast. The dynamic of that, not their personal beliefs, you know, because there's some I'm like, I don't agree with them politically, but I don't go, yep, they talk about, that's a really cool paranormal podcast or true crime, but you know, they vote the other way, or they're socialist, so I'm going to give them a 3 or 4. No, it has nothing, because that's just their personal belief, but I'm not, you know, so I shouldn't hold that against them. I shouldn't hold that against the podcast. You know what I mean? Like the actual talking about. So, I think we said what we needed to say.
Now I've got and to I'm again. Spent.
No. But anyway, so yes, thank you to the listener for that review anyway, because could have been worse. Could have been a 2 or 3 star, I guess. I'll take it for
Well, and
it still have an average of 5 stars, so at least it didn't dip down below 5.
Right. This is a good time to also appreciate all of our listeners for allowing us to be in your ears every week, because it truly is a privilege, you know. And so we appreciate allowing us to be ourselves and be us. And
and the possibility of everybody agreeing with everything that we say is slim to none. So
I agree with everything you say.
Well, I know, but not everybody.
It's nauseating, isn't it?
You know,
if you enjoy it, you enjoy it. If you don't, you know, it's no big deal.
So where are we at on the, I'm looking up. It's so weird being here, especially like sitting up in bed. I'm like, this is really weird. What time is the, oh my gosh, look at this.
Oh,
I'm looking at my notes and it says dad joke time. Isn't that awesome?
You're so excited.
Sean, I can't see Nate's face. So he's got to be smiling from ear to ear, right? Is that excited about the dad joke?
I would say somber.
The smiling man.
It's hidden under his beard. He walked out. He went to go see Scott and Corey.
La, la, la. I'm not listening.
You know what? Just because I'm not there, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do a double shot. A double shot dad joke.
Oh, man. Watch out.
Dedicated to Nate Laux.
Oh, I appreciate it.
Okay, well, you know what? I was kind of mad. To the person who stole my limbo stick, that was a new low.
Yeah, very true.
That was joke number one.
That's all I get.
That wasn't a joke. That was an observation.
Let me read that again. To the person who stole my limbo stick. That was a new low. Okay. Person who stole my dictionary, I have no words.
Okay. You know, maybe we were lucky to get that 4-star.
I'm about ready to throw a clock at you and watch time fly.
That's
the best I got tonight, okay? Give me a break. There you go. That's a double shot. So, you know what? Come off of that. Those were pretty bad. I like them, but they're really bad.
They're so bad, they're good.
Sean, how about you do the first announcement?
I have the first part of the announcements right here. We come here every week, basically, to get together for the guy time, the creepy time, paranormal. It's fun. It really is. But the most important thing that we do and that we talk about every single time, and we will continue to do this, is building a mental health community. So we always like to give out the numbers, call or text 988 for any type of mental distress, suicide prevention, or any other type of crisis that you may be experiencing. You can also text HOME to 741-741 for professional help. If you or someone you know is experiencing bullying, contact stopbullying.gov for help. Reach out to our Facebook group, Instagram account, email, or message us for added support. That is what our Mako family is all about. Don't you know? Amen, brother.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Oh.
I got caught up in the spirit, sorry.
Thank you for that, Sean. All in fun.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. No, thank you. Shout out. Do you guys have any shout outs?
I'm going to shout out to Dr. Jackson. I saw him tonight, and he left us that trail footage. Remember that picture that looked like perfectly normal and then looked like a kid peeking out from behind that tree?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that? I saw the kid. And he said nobody was home, no kids were home, unless somebody was messing around with him. But it didn't look like a full, like, person. Like, it didn't look like they were, you know, like more transparent than, like, solid.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see it, Todd?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I commented because I said something like, that's pretty eerie looking.
Oh, yeah, I saw it right off the bat.
I was like, holy moly. I believe him 1,000%.
Yeah.
That, you know, no kids were home or whatever. And That's pretty, it's pretty detailed, I thought.
He's a pretty reasonable, you know, science-based guy who tries to figure out the, you know, common sense reasons for things. And so I think he was even puzzled on this. So I appreciate him posting that and sharing that with all the creepies. So that was really amazing. So, and to me, like, I want anybody that has that kind of the cool photos or somebody sends you something that's appropriate, of course, you know, share that with us. That's really cool. I appreciate that he did that.
Absolutely. Nate, did you have a shout out?
Not this week.
Hmm. Holding out, huh?
Man, I work so much, I'm rarely around people.
Shout out to work.
Shout out to work. Oh, my gosh.
That sounds amazing.
I don't have any shout outs. I don't have one. I don't know if I had one last time. I'm out. I'm shouted out.
Shout it.
So, I'm done. Special announcements. Oh, put on the... I meant to, but I had a headache. So anyway, big announcement, big announcement. I think I even typed that big announcement. Creepies on Saturday, November 16th. So put it on your calendar now. November 16th, 2024, from 3 to 7 PM will be the Creep Fest 2024 live event hosted by the Mako Podcast. We have not selected a venue yet, so that will be determined at a later time. We're excited. The show's lineup will be as follows. Starting the show off will be paranormal investigator, author, and good friend of the show, Mr. Austin Lawrence. Austin will share some of his stories and video evidence from his investigations. Then, of course, your Mako boys will present a spooky topic that will be sure to creep out the audience. And then we will finish off the night with local rock band who sings about all things macabre, horror, and creepy, the Black Market Vinyl Band. They are awesome. More information will be released later on as we nail down some details. It is going to be a fun and, yes, creepy good time, so get ready for Creep Fest 2024. Guys, it's going to be an awesome time. I'm already excited.
It's going to be here before we know it.
Yeah.
I know it.
Just like the last time.
Last time we had 15 months to prepare, and now we've already shorten that by 3 months, so it's going to go really fast. So we'll nail down the venue and ticket stuff and all that. So can't wait. Austin, I know he said he's already going to start working on his stuff with his investigations. He did a great job on our show something like that. Matt Reese and his Black Market Vinyl Band. Guys, did you see the did I send you the video? Or no, they were in Greencastle just about a week or two ago, mm-hmm. doing a gig, and somebody recorded the show and put it on their Facebook group. And man, they sound great. They absolutely sound awesome. It's gonna be fun.
I've been watching their videos.
I only saw I think four. I think he said he has like six band members, but I only saw four. Mm-hmm. But anyway, they were great, and I don't know the name of the song, but whatever it was, they're really talented, fun too, and they got a good reaction when they were done with it. The people, the audience seemed to really enjoy them. So, you know, being the host and the, you know, like I said, we typically would have been the headliner. I guess we still are since it's our show, but I thought, you know, it'd be better to just have them have a band, you know, in the show. I think that'd be better. So, regardless, it's going to be fun. Austin's going to do a great job. We'll do mediocre. And then, then the Black Market Vinyl Band will do awesome.
So. That's going to be awesome. I work with Matt and then his wife, Sarah, there at the hospital. And Jenna works with Sarah too. So I still have not met Matt. I only have emailed with Matt, messaged with Matt. And so he and I have not met, which is hilarious, but I already feel like I know him. And I told her that, and I said, we're really excited already about the show. And she's like, he is too. So, I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, same here. I've only messaged and emailed, so you seem like a good dude. So, with that said, that's the only special announcement. Mr. Sean, you want to tell the creepies what we're going to talk about?
I do. This is your pick. We are going to talk about an old topic it's witches is what we're going to talk about. Witches get stitches, right?
Witch.
Witch.
Yeah. Twitch. Where are my witches at?
We got to be careful with this one, right?
Yeah. So, when I messaged you, I think I messaged you, Sean, whenever a couple weeks ago, and I was like, have we talked about witches? And you're like, no. I'm like, I'm really surprised we haven't talked about them sooner.
Yeah. I know. What's wrong with us?
Years and,
well, yeah. We've touched on a few, like, you know, the Bell Witch and mm-hmm. stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about our wives. I started early on that one, baby.
I'll Woo. Get the Man. Shovel. You can start digging.
Oh, my gosh.
That was Sean Raymond.
Now we're going to talk about dead men, right?
Yeah.
Dead man walking over. Dead man walking. So a witch, this is, I mean, I don't know how much foundation you want, but there's different classifications for witches, of course. And they normally get seen as women, of course, but a person, especially women, normally claiming or popularly believed to possess magical powers and practice sorcery. A believer or follower of Wicca or Wiccan. Which they somewhat is a misconception, apparently. A woman who's considered ugly or frightening. A woman considered to be spiteful or overbearing gets called a witch. A woman or girl considered to be charming or fascinating, which I think is really weird. But one particularly skilled or competent at one's craft or witchcraft. So there's all kind of ways to look at the meaning of a witch, but we're going to talk about kind of the historical witch and how it's kind of evolved over time and the spook and witches, people have been actually, called witches and are known as witches. So we're going to cover everything.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's, doing research, I learned there are a ton of different, I knew there were, but I didn't know. I thought there might be two or three different types of witches, you know, whatever, or types of witchcraft, if you want to say it. But there's a lot of different descriptions of different types. So it's crazy how many there are. And I'd imagine, obviously, as the centuries have gone on, it's evolved that way, you know, what the different types and what their main differences are. What do they call like a man, like a male witch is like usually a warlock.
Warlock,
yep. Todd, you there?
We lose you?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, there you go. Hey. You got taken over by a witch?
Just sort of like a
sandwich.
Wide spectrum describing different witches. I have this little paragraph here. It says, early witches were people who practiced witchcraft using magic spells and calling upon spirits to help or to bring about change. Most witches were thought to be pagans doing the devil's work. Many, however, were simply natural healers or so-called wise women whose choice of profession was misunderstood.
I remember as a kid, you know, we talked about all the different horror characters, you know, like the Mummy and the Wolfman and Frankenstein and Dracula and all them. And I think some of the scariest movies, or you go to a haunted house, or I remember even a couple of as a kid trick-or-treating, and even a couple of the neighbors, older ladies, they would dress up as witches. And to me, that was one of the most frightening things. I just, something about, you know, now obviously we know that they don't all have green skin with warts on their nose and all that. But as a kid, I was like, man, this is terrifying. they were more scary than like monsters, you know, as far as depicting that type of witch. But as it's gone on and we've been doing this podcast, some of the videos on TikTok and the Instagram, you come across different accounts, and you know, they'll say they're a witch, you know, not anything malevolent, you know, but like it's just interesting how they practice what type of witch they are. So that's why I thought, man, we need to do it. Yeah, if we haven't done it already, because I honestly couldn't remember, we need to talk about it, because I think, and also there's a lot of misconception, you know, what their agenda is or what they're really going after or what they're trying to accomplish. So a lot of it I don't get. I really don't, just to be honest. I don't understand it. But, it is what it is for them. And as long as they're not trying to hurt anybody, I know some probably do these curses or spells, but this says, I have a little paragraph here. It says, if we look back to the ancient times, communities around the world have been, would have had one or more wise people or healers who would have been called upon to share folk magic remedies for illness, crop protection, good weather, and sometimes, ironically, staving off the evils of witches. And it said, it seems like throughout the years they've gotten a bad rap for being, it's been negative or a bad thing, but actually, if somebody's going to be a bad witch, they're in the minority. You know, I think most, overwhelming majority of witches, if that's what they would call themselves, are doing good. You know, they're actually trying to do good. This says, alas, by the 16th century, a Christian-led obsession with the power of the devil and the need for vigilance against sin brought these wise people under the spotlight and deemed them guilty by association. All of it was witchcraft. Thus began a shameful chapter of witch persecution and execution throughout the 16th and 17th centuries. And then it says, think of the Salem witch trials. So I know we've kind of touched on those a little bit. But yeah, man, back in those days, four or 500 years ago, even if you're trying to do good, you weren't looked at it that way.
Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting, and I listened to just like what you guys were talking about. It's changed from a matriarchal society where it was healing based, and like the people that were like medicine women almost, and trying to help, and then it got turned into more of a like I said, devil based, evil, the witchcraft, the dark magics, all that kind of stuff. Where it's, trying to bring harm to people. And it is, it's one of those things that is more of a misunderstanding. I think, and they say even like the modern Wicca is more, they don't even believe in God. They don't believe in Satan. I think they believe just more in nature, and they're actually more nature-based, as mm-hmm. I understand. I'm not a real deep practicer or understander of Wicca, but I think it's interesting that a coven, which we talk about covens, is a group of 13 witches. Did you guys know that? Takes 13 to have a coven, apparently.
No, I didn't
know that either. So a coven is a group or gathering of witches. The word coven from Anglo-Norman covent, old French covent, from Latin coventum, remained largely unused in English until about 1921, when Margaret Murray promoted the idea that all witches across Europe meet in groups of 13, which they called covens. So that leads into modern paganism and Wicca. Wicca is a form of modern pagan witchcraft. Actually, they have different kinds. So there's all kind of different groups. And then you hear like people actually classify themselves that way. It's more of a, in some ways, it's a type of religious practice. But other people, it's more of a lifestyle or a way of viewing their existence and how they interact with the elements and, the world and the natural order of things. So and how they influence it with their own presence and use of witchcraft or magic or however you want to look at it.
Right. Yeah. It says a coven focuses more on ceremonial and ritualistic magic. So I'm going to right off the bat say I don't know. Like I said, there's so many now. There's so many different types. Everything I read about was brand new because I really didn't, maybe I heard about it. So like I knew a Wicca or Wiccan, Kevin, I know, maybe some of the terms, but I don't really know anything about, so that's why another reason I'm like, man, we're going to learn a lot because it is, it's talked about over the years, but then really you don't know a whole lot about it, or at least the layperson doesn't. And I certainly am one of those,
I think this is interesting. When you get into the coven, which I didn't know a lot of the stuff before we were talking about it, but the number of people involved may vary, though. It's not always 13. It says it only takes three, so we could technically be a coven right now. Although some consider 13 to be ideal, probably within Murray's theories, it says, any group of at least three can be a coven. A group of two is usually called a working couple, regardless of their gender. It is also unofficially called an obavan by some members of the community, derived from Scottish Gaelic obar, meaning to work, a tribute to more official term, working couple, is a prament, a chu, which word for the word coven. So it says, within the community, many believe that a coven larger than 13 is unwielding, citing unwielding group dynamics and an unfair burden on the leadership. When a coven has grown too large to be manageable, it is split or into a hive, which is kind of cool, right? In Wicca, this may also occur when a newly made high priest or high priestess, also called third degree initiate, leaves to start their own coven. So it gets very political even in a little bit. I think that's amazing that it's like, oh, our coven's gotten too big. We got to split it up. You know, like it's kind of wild.
Right.
It's its own little community.
I have a little bit of info on one of the earliest records of a witch. It's unclear exactly when witches came onto the historical scene, but one of the earliest records of a witch is in the Bible, in the book of Samuel. Thought to be written between 931 BC and 721 BC, it tells the story of when King, Saul, S-A-U-L,
Saul.
King Saul sought the witch of Endor to summon the dead prophet Samuel's spirit to help him defeat the Philistine army. The witch aroused Samuel, who then prophesied the death of, Saul?
Saul.
Mm-hmm. Saul and his sons the next day, according to the Bible. Saul's sons died in battle, and Saul committed suicide. Other Old Testament verses condemn witches, such as the oft-cited Exodus 22:18, which says, "Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live." Additional biblical passages caution against divination, chanting, or using witches to contact the dead.
Darn it.
So there it is.
Sounds dangerous anyway, right?
Yeah.
Nate, your Bible thumping.
I was like, didn't we just talk about it?
Not trying to. It's historical.
Ixnay in the Bible Bay.
I know. If that poor person's listening, they're like, oh, my God.
Here we
I'm
go.
It's
funny.
I'm having fun with it.
It's totally coincidental.
No, it is very clear in the Bible that you know, you don't, it's kind of one of those things where, if I was, to meet somebody and I said, "Hey, what do you do?" And they're like, "Oh, I'm a dental assistant." I'm like, "Oh, that's cool." And also practice, witchcraft. I'm like, "Oh, okay, that's cool." It'd be something that it wouldn't be like, "Well, I can't be your friend." I would never be like that, because I'd be like, "Actually, tell me more." But it does make it clear that, God doesn't want it, because it's another way of you relying on yourself and your powers or the powers of whatever you're using to make a spell or whatever, instead of relying on God. I don't know if I really said it the best way, but you do have to be careful, because you don't know what you're messing with. Kind of like a Ouija board. That's what I'm trying to get at. It's kind of like a Ouija board, because you don't really know what you might be getting yourself into. And so you could have the best intentions. I'm going to try to contact my grandma. Or, hey, I'm going to do this witchcraft. I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm not trying to put curses on anybody. But I'm going to try to do this and that. And you don't know what could come out of it. Or, you might go in with a good, reason to do it. But what comes out of it could be something negative, just because there might be something that you can't control. So, if that makes any sense. But I know, I had never heard. Did you guys know there's even Christian witches?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that until, a couple of years ago. I'm trying to think who it was. Their mom. Now, she's not a believer. She's a podcaster and she's a sweetheart. I'm trying to draw. I can't remember her name because we haven't talked in a long time. I'm drawing a blank. Anyway, but her mom is a strong believer in. I mean, we're talking believe, not just like, "Oh, I'm spiritual," that whole blanket statement. No, she believes in Jesus and God and create. But she is a practicing witch. And what she was trying to explain is, it doesn't take away from my faith in Jesus and God and who they are and what they did and but it's just, but she likes to take like from the earth that God created and all that, and make herbs and medications and things like that. But she, you know, and you can say, oh, well, that's just I can't remember what they're called that do that. But she actually calls herself a witch, even though she's a, you know, she's a Christian. So I thought that was kind of interesting, you know? So all kinds of them.
Here is one of a so-called witch in the United States. One of the most famous witches in Virginia's history was Grace Sherwood, whose neighbors alleged that she killed their pigs and hexed their cotton.
Jeez. That's not very nice.
Other accusations followed, and Sherwood was brought to trial in 1706. The court decided to use a controversial water test to determine her guilt or innocence. Sherwood's arms and legs were bound, and she was thrown into a body of water. It was thought if she sank, she was innocent. If she floated, she was guilty. Sherwood didn't sink and was convicted of being a witch. She wasn't killed, but put in prison for 8 years.
Hmm. She should have been, right?
Mm-hmm. I've also read...
That's how they did back then. That's one of the tests that, you know, when back in the days when they could just accuse anybody of being a witch.
Yeah.
Yeah, they tied to a chair and see if they floated or sank. And it's like, well, crap, you're screwed either way.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if you, what was it that if you rise, then you're a witch, correct? Is that?
If you floated, you're a witch.
Yeah, so, okay, so then you're going to be killed. Or if you sink, well, you're going to get killed anyway. You're going to die. It's like, okay, well, you're innocent, but then you're screwed because you're tied to a chair and they're not going to, like, they didn't even, like, pull them out.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just so barbaric. And, you know, we are talking about the...
Yeah.
1700s, just like the Salem witch trial, 1692. I mean, the sad thing is, and which is scary, I mean, back then, my gosh, they said people could, like, neighbors could be mad at each other, and somebody could be the first one to say, well, that lady's a witch, or that guy's a witch, because they upset them. And then already now they're deemed guilty, and, you know, yeah, they might have a trial, but it's kind of hard to really, most of the time you didn't win. Because they already had it set that you're a witch just because of a land dispute, or you know, you just looked at them wrong. And it's like, oh my gosh, can you imagine just like this day and age going, yeah, you're a thief or witch, you know, whatever. And it's like, I didn't, you know, I mean, just cause you didn't like the person, you know, it's the same thing. You just make up something, but it's like, boom, you're already guilty pretty much.
Yeah, you can destroy their reputation. Yeah.
Yep. And there's a lot more. Well, I mean, that's trying to figure out if they're a witch. I mean, it stems way, way back, even before that. Like right here, it's saying, like, in Europe during the mid-1400s, many accused witches confessed, often because they're under torture.
Yeah, and, right. You'll yeah, and to a get variety, the pain to stop,
yeah,
right?
And a variety of wicked behaviors. Within a century, witch hunts were common, and most of the accused were executed by burning at the stake or hanging. Single women, widows, and other women on the margins of society were especially targeted.
I think it's interesting that you talk about that. They said that a lot of witches were either beheaded or killed or chopped up into pieces, then burned, which is like a lot of them weren't burned alive. But because I always think of that too, is like they're burned, you know, either alive or but they were tortured first, or like I said, decapitated. They just wanted to make sure. And the burning was a ritual to make sure that their evil was gone and that they couldn't return basically to this mortal world. But I one of the most famous witches that I think of, besides Bewitched, you know, grew up with that, you know, the character and. That kind of makes, you know, like those are like fun, you know, plays on witches. And I remember like the Disney witches and Snow White, you know, that scared me. But one of them was, I don't know if you guys ever read Macbeth, but we read that when we were in high school. But the whole, you know, the three witches in that are so classic, and it's probably some of the most well-known in literature, but Double Double, Toil and Trouble, Fire Burn and Cauldron Bubble is a rhyming couplet from Shakespeare's play Macbeth, chanted by the supernatural three witches. It's among the most quoted lines from Shakespeare, mainly because of its sing-song rhyming and rhythm and rhyming. The witches represent pure evil. They are not real characters, and indeed, they can be seen simply as the voice of temptation in the mind of Macbeth. Shakespeare disguises them from the other characters by making them speak in a distinctive way, different from the way that human beings in the play that the human beings do in the play, and it's all other plays speak. It's almost as though they are talking a different language. The way Shakespeare does this is to abandon his usual blank verse, his iambic pentameter, and make the witches speak in those rhyming couplets. So it makes it for a weird mesmeric effect, which, you know, it does when it comes out, you know, in live plays and stuff. But it says, when Macbeth is at his wit's end, sleepless with guilt, hated by everyone, his marriage broken, he goes to find the witches to try to find out how it's going to end for him. They know he's coming, and Shakespeare gives us a wonderful scene as they prepare a potion for him to drink. They have a steaming cauldron on a fire and are cooking their ingredients, chanting as they do, round and round the cauldron go, in the poisons D entrails throw, toad that under cold stone days and nights has 31. Swelted venom, sleeping got, boil thou first, I the charmed pot. Double, double, toil and trouble, fire burn and cauldron bubble. Fillet of finny snake, in the cauldron boil and bake, eye of newt and toe of frog, wool of bat and tongue of dog, adder's fork and blindworm sting, lizard's leg and owlet's wing, for a charm of powerful trouble, like a hell broth boil and bubble. So they go on and on and on, and they, you know, spewing their magic and their, mm-hmm. you know, their all that. But it's actually pretty lengthy. It's a lot longer than I remember. But it really gets your attention, and it really takes you a lot of the imagery that we think about with witches, like, kind of comes from that too, and comes from the pictures that Shakespeare put in our head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I always thought that was funny as a kid, that toy and trouble bubble talk.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, I can never memorize it though.
Yeah. That's why I had to look it up, because I was like, ooh, it's a lot more, lot lengthier than I thought it was.
Right. Because he kept going. I was like, wait a minute.
It goes on and on and on. Yeah.
One of the many, again, like I said, there's a ton of different types of witches. This one I find interesting. It's called the Grey Witch, which I had heard, but this gives a little bit more detail or description. A Grey Witch straddle the divide between white and black magic, using whatever suits the situation. So they will use curses and hexes when the situation calls for it, when many witches will not go there. Witchcraft typically follows an ethic of working for the highest good. Grey witches typically seek justice and the correction of unfair circumstances, redirecting bad energy to where it should have gone in the first place. They will often call on the unseen spirit they will often call on the unseen spirit presences to help them. If you are drawn to the darker arts or feel you are fighting a greater evil in the world, maybe you are a great witch. So I think that's interesting. You know, yeah, it's that in between. Maybe sometimes you're kicked off and you want to get back at a guy that broke up with you or woman, and or you're doing, you know, something that's totally innocent. So that's kind of a great witch, which is kind of both, I guess, you know, the good and the bad. So
I have sort of a list of different witches. I'm not going to go into the particulars of each one, but you have the coven based witch, the solitary witch, which a lot of these are sort of self-explanatory.
Mm-hmm.
Hereditary witch, so she gets her powers through inheritance. Crystal witch, so they get powers from crystals and gems and rocks and stones. And cosmic witch, so that'd be like astrological and astronomy and that kind of stuff. Green witch, which is nature and healing and nurturing. hedge witch, which is similar to a green witch, plant witch, gray witch, as Todd just mentioned.
I'm still waiting for the sandwich, huh?
Sandwich. No.
also known as the beach witch.
let's see. Folk witch.
They play guitar.
Yeah. Practices folk magic passed down through their family and through their local community. They often focus on the history and origin of a practice and may work with plants and objects that are native to their location. Baby witch.
Didn't know. These are all unknown to me, or a lot of them anyway.
Kitchen witch focuses on the kitchen. Hearth witch, house witch, ceremonial witch, the sea witch.
Like Ursula.
So yeah, there's a lot of different ones.
The forest witch.
Well, that'd be the green witch.
The mountain witch. Yeah, that would be a green witch, right? Oh, man, I got to get straight. I didn't know there were so many different types, but I guess that makes sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about this. We had a whole episode on the Bell Witch, so I'll give just kind of a short description, of course. Go listen to our episode, whichever one that was, on the Bell Witch. That was actually a really fun talk. The Bell Witch is a legend from southern United States folklore centered on the 19th century Bell family of northwest Robertson County, Tennessee. The prevailing account is that the Bell Witch is the spirit of Kate Batts, an unfriendly neighbor of John Bell, who believed she was cheated by him in a land purchase. However, no one really knows for sure. The story revolves around alleged spirits that took place in and around the John Bell home near Adams, Tennessee, a community just south of the Kentucky line, northwest of Nashville. In the early 1800s, a family was torn apart after attracting the demonic attention of the Bell Witch. The only hope of escaping torment is death, and this ancient spirit is more than happy to help. And she has a cave that she lives in, and there were accounts of her even being, like, you know, continents away. And so there's all kind of weird, you know, like poltergeist type activity with her. And so it gets pretty creepy. That's one of the most well-known and demonic and evil witches that I think were ever talked about. And then, Todd, you've told us before, isn't that Jerry's favorite, one of his favorite topics?
That's his favorite.
His favorite, yep.
Yeah, favorite paranormal topic. Yeah, he loves that story, which I do too. Sean, you need to, I think you need to go through and memorize those.
How can I not remember that number?
Yeah, I mean,
I'm slacking.
So, like, we'll have, like, what is this total, like 266 or 267. I think you can do it. I think you can memorize it. Yeah, that was episode 189 on the full, and then, oh, that's episode 57 mini. Yeah.
I'm going to work on that tonight.
you can have that memorized by Sunday. I'll give you until Sunday. the Bell Witch is a great legend and story to talk about. Of course, we did the episode on The Conjuring. Mm-hmm. You know, excuse me, that there was the witch Bathsheba, which was the antagonist in the first Conjuring movie, was a witch from the 19th century, also, who tried to sacrifice her child to Satan, hang herself from a tree, and cursed all who inhabit her property. She claps, stabs, and screams, and she's one of the scariest films in the series. But there is a legend that there was really a Bathsheba in that land at one time. And then the house, of course, was, you know, built on it and all that. So that's a kind of another popular witch, I guess you want to call it. Yeah. Very interesting.
I'm going to derail this a little bit. It's still in the Witches Avenue. Have either of you seen the Witches movies?
I have not.
Is that from the 80s?
The first one was from 1990.
90, yeah.
And that had, what's her face? I have it right here.
She's real tall. I had black hair.
Angelica Houston played the High Witch, Grand High Witch. And then they remade it in 2020 with Anne Hathaway playing the Grand High Witch.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep. I've seen both. I am partial to the original because when, let's see, 1990, I would have been 10 years old, so when I watched it, it sort of stuck with me and scared me a little bit. the movie makeup was very well done.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, the new one is pretty good too. But
does it stay along the line of the original, or do they change it up?
Yeah, more or less. The main storyline is the same. I think they embellish here and there on certain scenes and stuff, but more it's the same story. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Amy. So when the kids were smaller, she introduced the 1991 to the kids. Now, I've known about it. You know, I remember when it came out, and I will say I was older than 10, but I was 19. But I had never seen it. And Amy, that's one of her childhood, movies. You know, she was 12, and she just loved it. It creeped her out. You know, so as a 12-year-old, and so. Yeah, Elijah and Olivia saw it. So watching it with them, I thought, oh, this is a creepy, in a cute way, funny, yeah. You know. But then it had like a really spooky, plot, you know. So yeah. I really did like it. But I did not know they remade it. I had no idea.
Yes, they did. I think it was one of those things because it's 2020, so it was when was that? The start of the pandemic and all that stuff.
Yep.
So yeah, it was one of those ones where it like went straight to like streaming or whatever.
Oh, okay. So. Now you said a pandemic. What happened now? 2020.
something with a 19. Something. Yeah.
I'm going to say something. So I'm going to ask you a question, both of you, and then I'm going to say something that's probably going to be unpopular with maybe a lot of the people that are listening. I don't know, but I know a lot of people online, like on the socials. There was a movie that came out, I don't know, not that long ago, maybe 6-7 years ago, something like that, literally called The Witch. Have you ever heard of that one?
Uh-oh.
It's based like in the 1600s, 1700s, something like that. And oh my gosh, Amy and I, so we rented it off the, we streamed it, and it looks so creepy, and it had such, it's done, and it's so dark and gray, like literally there's no color. I mean, it's just a, and you're back in the, 300-400 years ago, and I love that time period back in the New England, the old, I don't say the old country, but like in the old, New England time period. And it's called The Witch, and it looks like, it started out great, and man, and I would say great, but I had like potential. And I tell you what, we literally made it through, and I was like, we'll never get our $5.99 back. We hated that movie, hated it. But people will bring that up; they'll post it on Instagram or Facebook, all these different accounts, these horror accounts or movie accounts, and they'll say like, oh, best witch movie ever, one of the best horror movies ever, best thrillers. And all, I mean, people just go on, and they just love it. And I've gotten on there before, but I'm like, you guys are watched something totally different than I did we couldn't stand it. It was like Dark Waters with it was like a early 2000s movie. I'm drawing a blank on the girl's name, but she was real popular in the 2005 year. Dark, like Amy and I. When we first started dating, we watched that. We were like, oh my gosh, we'll never get that 2 hours back. So like, those are the two worst movies as far as like horror, we've ever seen. But it's called The Witch, and it looks like, we always say The Vitch because it looks like a V. It looks like,
it's double V.
They've got two V's together to make a W, but it looks like the V. So we go, The Vitch. We hate that movie. And I know people are listening. When they listen to this episode, they're going to yell at the podcast. Some of them say, it's overrated. Or terrible, but man, I'm telling you, it's a popular movie. I'm just warning you, if you ever do watch it, maybe you guys like it. Maybe you'll like it, but oh gosh, it's horrible. It was horrible. I mean, it's a really good witch movie, but that's not it's awful.
Yeah, this I'm looking at a list of like 37 witch movies.
Okay.
And it's number 5. I don't know if it's in a rated order. I hope not. Because number one is The Little Witch from 2019. So that looks like a sort of like a kiddie type show. Yeah, it says here, The Witch is a bona fide horror story set in New England during the 1630s. Strange things start happening on a family's remote farm, and they become suspicious of their teenage daughter.
Yeah.
So if that intrigues you, I guess go watch it and make up your own opinion. Todd does not like it.
Seven out of ten rating, and it's a 90% at Rotten Tomatoes, is what it says. So I don't
know. Did I say I hated it? Did I really hate it? Oh my gosh! I'm not sorry, but it's like it's awful. It's terrible. I mean, like the set, like the costumes, the cinematography is so good. That's the thing. It's so dark. Like I said, it's so dark and gray, and it's got that creepiness, but then it just, to us, it just doesn't go anywhere. It's not scary. We're just like, really? Like, it could have been a lot better. When you're reading the story there, you know, like, it sounds so good, and it's like, oh, awesome. And then, because we watched the trailer, and we're like, ooh, okay. And that's
the best parts were in the trailer.
Getting off of that.
What about Hocus Pocus?
Oh yeah,
Hocus Pocus. Yeah, there's another one as a
Sanderson sisters, baby.
Yeah, Hocus Pocus 2 in 2022.
I've seen the first one with the kid. Again, they watched it pretty much every day, eating breakfast before school when they were little, and that was the first time I had never seen. Again, some of these movies that came out, and I'm like, I'm in my 20s. I'm like, that's the last thing I'm gonna watch is Hocus Pocus. But then when you get kids or have kids, you get kids. When you have kids, you're like, oh, okay, we'll check it out. And this person's a cute movie. I've never seen the second one, but
no, they're good. I've watched it numerous times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amy also used to watch Sabrina. I don't know if she watched the series, but there is a movie. There's another witch that again reminds her of her early teenage years. You know, and so it's just funny.
Have you guys ever heard of Jenny Greenteeth?
I don't think so.
No, I ran across this one. This is good. Jenny Greenteeth, a.k.a. Wicked Jenny, is a figure in English folklore. She's a river hag similar to Peg Powler or Grindylo. She would pull children or the elderly into the water and drown them. The name is also used to describe pondweed or duckweed, which can form a continuous mat over the surface of a small body of water, making it misleading and potentially treacherous, especially to unwary children. With this meaning, the name is common around Liverpool and southwest Lancashire. Jenny Greenteeth was often described as green-skinned with long hair and sharp teeth. She is called Jenny Greenteeth in Lancashire and North Staffordshire in Cheshire and Stropshire. She is called Wicked Jenny. Jenny Greenteeth or Jeannie Greenteeth is also described as lurking in the upper branches of trees at night. Although this may be a folklorist confusion with the Northern English Jenny Hewlett, which is folklore name for an owl. There are different ones that go from Russia and Australia, Jamaica. There's all kinds around the world, basically, of these river hags or, you know. There's American folklore around Lake Erie about her. There is Pennsylvania, the Erie Triangle. So storm hag is said to be a green-skinned woman with teeth like the shark, but green, piercing yellow eyes, who rests at the bottom of a lake off the coast of Presque Island and sings a song whenever a ship approaches. Come into the water, love, dance beneath the waves, where dwell the bones of sailor lads inside my saffron cave. When the sailors of the ship hear this song, the storm hag attacks the ship and crew with violent storms and waves, sinking and devouring them. Man, that's spooky.
No kidding. So
those are the sea witches. Sea hags.
Yeah, I found
sea hags, yeah.
I found even more different witch classifications. I'm not even going to attempt to go through all these. But yeah, there. If you can think of it, there's probably a witch associated with it.
They're a cloud witch.
Yeah. There's a ton. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Fire witch.
Solar witch. Lunar witch.
Witchy witch.
List disappeared on me, but. There's all sorts of them.
Podcast witch.
Dianic witch, Norse witch, Celtic witch. Yeah.
Did you guys ever, there's a, something I had never, ever, ever heard of before, but it's some folklore from Italy, and it's about a witch tied in with the three wise men. Have you guys ever heard of anything about this? And it's a Christmas tradition in Italy, apparently. Do you know anything about it, Ty?
No. No.
So it is three wise men and a witch. So it says January 6th is called the Epiphany, the 12th day of Christmas, an official end of the holiday season in Italy. Epiphany represents the day the wise men, the Magi, arrived in Bethlehem bearing gifts for the baby Jesus. Italian folklore says that along the way, the wise men stopped an old woman to ask for directions. That's probably why they considered her wise. They invited the old woman to go with them, but she was too busy cleaning the house and such, and she stayed behind. Later, she tried to catch up with them and bring a gift to the Christ child, but couldn't find her way. So instead, she wanders around giving gifts to good children and lumps of coal to the naughty ones. Sound like Santa Claus? On Epiphany. Today, Befana is portrayed as a witch or crone-like creature who gets around on a straw broom, which, of course, that's what we think of. Befana arrived in Lucca to the delight of local children tossing candy as she descended from a rooftop in Piazza San Francesco, assisted by balloons and the crane atop a local fire truck. So this is a picture of her in their local celebration of her. Oh, but she rides
looks
around.
Like the movie.
I'm going to show Todd, and Todd's not even there, right?
Yeah, let me see. Oh, I can't see.
So you see that? But yeah, it's pretty cool though. But so it says then in the ceremony, the Magi also come. So it's a whole celebration for Christmas, but she's part of this story. It's kind of interesting because in this, I don't know if this is family friendly podcast, so we're not going to get too deep into this. And you hit the edit button if you need to. But I never knew, like, I don't know if you guys have been hearing this. Like, we always find out aspects of things that we don't probably either know about or realize. But there's one aspect of the magic of witches and broomsticks that there is a sexual energy too, to mm-hmm. that. And the broom was more of a sexual symbol. And the idea that they were, getting closer to the devil and those kind of powers and the occult, sex magic, that kind of stuff. And that's what the broom represents, or that kind of sexual pleasure and all those kind of things. To me, I was like, oh my gosh, you just like ruined the whole idea. I've never ever thought of a broomstick or the symbolism with the broomstick as being something that was, sexually related, but to witches, or like I said, their connection to the devil. But people have been like, oh yeah, that's like part of where that symbology comes from. I'm like,
well, I skipped over that classification, but there is sex witch.
Well, exactly. Right. And that's, we talked about Aleister Crowley and the magic and all that kind of stuff, but it goes back into the occultism and that's that power from within and all over. But I thought that was, I've never, ever, ever heard that in some of these discussions, I should say research that we looked into it. But anyway,
I neither.
Yeah. Well,
why do they have moles?
Moly. That I did not discover.
I didn't either.
They like guacamole.
Stereotypical.
Holy moly.
Thought.
Yeah. Why are they so ugly?
Whack-a-mole.
Whack-a-mole. That's right.
I have one more thing, and I'm pretty much witched out. I think this is interesting because I saw it on a couple of different websites, so I just concentrate on this one. But this is a Russian legend or a Russian legendary witch. It is called, I love this name, the Baba Yaga.
Uh-huh.
Or Baba Yaga, I don't know. It says, in Russian folktales, I'm just going to call it the Baba Yaga, is an old witch who can either be fearsome and scary or the heroine of a tale. And sometimes she manages to be both. Described as having teeth of iron and a frightfully long nose, the Baba Yaga lives in a hut on the edge of the forest, which can be moved around on its own, and is depicted as having legs like a chicken. Baba Yaga does not, unlike many traditional folkloric witches, fly about on a broomstick. Instead, she rides around in a giant mortar, which she pushes along with an equally large pestle, rowing it almost like a boat. She sweeps the tracks away from behind her with a broom made of silver birch. In general, no one ever knows whether Baba Yaga will help or hinder those who seek her out. Often bad people get their just desserts through her actions, but it is not so much that she wishes to rescue the good as it is that evil brings its own consequences, and Baba Yaga is simply there to see punishments meted out. So there you go, the Baba Yaga from good old Mother Russia.
Mother Russia. It's amazing. There are lists and lists and lists of like famous witches throughout history too, and that goes on and on and on as well. So there's, I mean, that's like little tiny mini episodes right there of mm-hmm. some of these fascinating characters. But
I mean, do you guys have anything else? I think we've, you know, it's hard to cover some of these topics. Like, there's so much to the topic of witches. There's just, yeah, because there's so many different ones, and it's such an old, you know, legend, or, you know, I mean, there are real witches, I guess. It's just, there's too many stories to cover.
Yeah, legends, you know, accounts.
And the majority of witches throughout history have been female, but there are male witches out there as well. They say in the, like, throughout the Middle Ages, I mean, it was tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people that were accused. I mean, there's rough estimates of how many were, you know, accused of being witches and killed and maimed and their lives ruined because of it. But they say some of them were men, and those tended to be more people that were either homosexual or more effeminate or strange, or they were seen. And some of the women were too. They were seen as the weirdos, or if you were too smart, or if you spoke out, or if you were, you know, trying to be more independent minded. And throughout times in history, you were called out as a witch just to basically, you know, because you were different. So I think it's interesting. So we're talking about the broom being part of the witch. There's the cauldron that's part of it. You know, obviously the cackle and being ugly and all that stuff. And then another thing that was kind of interesting was crystal balls, or soothsaying, is a pretty important thing too. They use a lot of that magic, or, you know, try to do divination, or you know, looking into the past or the future and telling you what's going to happen, or how things are connected, having, you know, tea and leaf readings and seances and all that kind of stuff. So I always think it's interesting, all the different tricks of the trade. And then also the black cats go along with them too. You know, cats ride along on broomsticks with them, and they're seen as negative or bad luck, or, you know, go along with Friday the 13th, or, you know, all these devil and demon and evil demonic type pictures and things that we associate a lot with Halloween.
Yeah. Like we were saying earlier, the witches back in the day, man, the people that were accused, for any reason, just if you didn't like your neighbor for whatever, or you just wanted to, you know, hurt them or get back at them for something, yeah, you just say, well, they're a witch, or just accuse them, and didn't take much to convince them, the government at that time to persecute them, you know.
Well,
they said the chances of you actually winning a trial to prove your innocence was pretty much none. I mean, there you didn't have a chance. Basically, like, once you're accused and you're prosecuted and jailed or hanged or whatever. They did say real quick. They did say that most of the at least in the Salem witch trials, I know we can do that as a topic sometime. But they were not burned at the stake. They were hanged.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Most mm-hmm. of the time, yeah. But everybody, you know, the legend is like, oh, they were burned at the stake. I mean, not the hangings, much better, but at least there's less torture, which I get a little quicker. But they actually were mainly hanged at the, you know, on the gallows. So, my lovely bride is, she doesn't feel good. She's come to bed. So I'm going to walk downstairs and finish up this episode. So
tell her to feel better.
Yeah, that was a good talk about with, yeah, I'll tell her. That was a good talk. I like that. So that's
a lot of the. I just want one more thought, but
go ahead.
A lot of the tests that they administered to determine you as a witch were pretty much
bogus.
Bogus and unbeatable. So it's like,
you
know,
if you drowned, you weren't. Yeah. If you floated, you were. So,
but then, yeah, I mean,
oh wait, no, it was the other way around, right?
Just ridiculous stuff.
If you drown,
I don't know if this was one of them, but more or less, they're like,
Yeah.
We'll have them hold their breath, and if they pass out, they're a witch. You know? Right. Yeah. They're going to pass out. You know?
What if you
can't pass it.
If you drown, you're a witch. If you float, you're a witch. So you're like, wait a minute, screw it either way.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, you drown. It didn't matter what you did.
Oh, they died, but they were not a witch. You're like, wait a minute, somebody made up these rules, right? And some of the people that accused people of witches would be accused of witches themselves and die.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, ha, you're just desserts. I think this is it. One other thing I want before we end the episode, I wanted to say it's interesting, and this is a story actually just from yesterday. So on Halloween, as of yesterday, when we're recording this, it says that there is a group that is seeking to clear the names of the witches in Massachusetts. So they are actually still from the, you know, from 1648 when the first, it says Margaret Jones was the first midwife to become or to be accused and executed for witchcraft back in, you know, the start off the Salem witch trials. They are trying to clear all those people's names of being witches and witchcraft. So I think that's interesting that they're still working on that all these, you know, hundreds of years later.
I think they should.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I think that's cool.
Because,
actually,
you know, there are people, there's a lot of people that are descendants from them. Like gosh, there's a girl that on the podcast like last year. She's like her, it was her great, 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 and you know, like, you know, however many. And I'm like, that is wild. She was related to one of the witches, or one of the women that were accused of being a witch that was killed. And yeah, she's like, you know, she's in her 40s or 50s. I mean, she's like, I would love for my, you know, whatever she was. Aunt, I think it was an aunt, a great, 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 great aunt, you know, 30 times. She's like, I would love for my aunt to be cleared just because I'm alive. And I want, you know, just to know that, you know, that even though her aunt would never know. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of family members are still, they're alive throughout the generations. And, yeah, you know, they're fighting for that justice. So I think it's cool. You know, sad. But anyway, yeah. Well, it's fun. I like talking about the witches. So much to it. But Sean, what do you have? I'm going to guess, I'm going to say middle-aged moment.
Nope, it's dark side.
Well, dang on it.
I guess it could kind of go both ways, honestly. It could be a little bit light, a little bit dark. You'll get it when I say it. This is Frank Sinatra. This is witchcraft. So it's kind of both.
There you go.
Those fingers in my hair, that sly come hither stare, that strips my conscience bare, it's witchcraft. And I've got no defense for it. The heat is too intense for it. What good would common sense, what good would common sense for it do? Because it's witchcraft, wicked witchcraft. And although I know it's strictly taboo, when you arouse the need in me, my heart says yes indeed in me, proceed with what you're leading me to. It's such an ancient pitch, but one I couldn't switch because there's no nicer witch than you. Because it's witchcraft, that crazy witchcraft. And although I know it's strictly taboo, when you arouse the need in me, my heart says yes indeed in me, proceed with what you're leading me to. It's such an ancient pitch, but one I'd never switch because there's no nicer witch than you. I thought that was appropriate for our discussion.
That is. Yeah. That is. Mm-hmm. I assumed it was going to be a moment, though. Yeah, I don't know, it's kind of both. I don't know.
It kind of is, honestly.
It's like the gray witch. You know, it can be both. So it's a gray moment. I'm going to call it a gray moment.
There you go.
That was good. Well, Mr. Sean, you have the other announcements, and then we'll wrap it up.
I do. Second part of the announcements, follow us on all social media accounts, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok. Email us at our email address, magopodcast@gmail.com. We are on, I said it, didn't I? Dang it, I knew I was going to do it one of these days. We are on all podcast listening apps. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Give us a 5-star rating and leave a review if the app allows. Tell someone you know or don't know about the podcast. We sell all kinds of awesome merch, so go get you some. We offer many types of show sponsorship opportunities for individuals and businesses. It's another way for you to support us, get your name mentioned and or business promoted. The sponsorship money goes right back into the show for merch giveaways, future on locations, live shows, etc. Please email us, reach out to one of us, or message us on Instagram for more information.
Awesome. That is awesome. I'm telling you.
You did a good job
tonight.
I did all right.
Proud of you.
I did a little fumble stumble, but I'm all right.
Well, I didn't want to tell you, but I did a witch's spell. You know, about
yeah.
You nail it. You knew the announcements, and yeah.
Pazow! Yeah. Using that crystal ball over there.
Nate, Mr. Nate, what do you have for us?
I don't know which way this is going to go.
No.
That's a wrap.
Oh, man. How did I see that? Oh, I saw it coming, but I wasn't sure. I just wasn't sure. Awesome. Thank you, sir. And we want to thank you, Creepies, for listening to episode 139 and our discussion on witches. So until next time, Nate is your tech engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged.
And creeped out.
Keep it creepy.